Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. On today's show, I'm speaking with Astoria Mayor Arlene Lemire, who recently announced she will not seek a second term when her position ends in 11 months. When elected in 2014, Lemire became only the second woman mayor in Astoria's history. And she had huge shoes to fill, assuming the role from Native son Willis Van Dusen, who had held the position for some 24 years. A retired librarian and 21-year resident of the town, Lemire served on the Astoria Planning Commission and the Astoria City Council before running for mayor in a contested race against Larry Taylor. She has countered the popular Van Dusen's gregariousness with a quiet, calm demeanor, no matter how contentious the meeting she prevails over. We'll discuss the increasing problem of a lack of affordable housing, plans for remodeling the city's aging library, and developers' interests in building out some of the few remaining vacant parcels along the waterfront. This program was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Arlene. Why don't you start by explaining why you've decided not to run for a second term?
I have thoroughly enjoyed my 4 years or three years as mayor, and hopefully my fourth. But I think the time comes when your personal reasons, family, and so forth come forward, and it's important to step back. This will be my third retirement because I retired as a school librarian in Virginia and then as a librarian at the Maritime Museum here in Astoria and now as mayor. So it's been a wonderful experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, but it's time for someone else to take the reins.
You've served in city government positions, both on the Planning Commission, as I mentioned, and the City Council for a number of years. Will you be stepping down completely from your volunteer work with the city?
No, not at all. I hope to continue working particularly on homelessness and affordable housing issues. Those are both so very critical, and especially with the Walmart coming in and the approximately 200 and some employees that they're going to have. We need to have affordable housing for our working class folks.
That seems to be the most pressing problem facing not just Astoria, but the Northwest in general. What kinds of things can a city the size of Astoria realistically do to help bring more affordable housing to the community?
It's hard because we don't have a lot of land, but there are buildings that are underutilized that hopefully we could find some grants and housing authority people who would come in and help us to turn some of this underutilized property into affordable housing. I'm extremely happy about the Waldorf Merwin Hotel because that should provide about 40 units of affordable housing, but that's not going to completely solve our problem. We have our cannery workers, our teachers, the support staff at the hospital, just so many different kinds of workers that don't make enough money to afford our rents.
Explain a bit about the Waldorf / Merwin. It goes by both names. The, rundown building is putting it nicely next to City Hall.
Right. That building has really been out of use for 30 years. Other folks have tried to do something with it, but it just didn't pan out, and the only way that it's going to pan out now is with historical preservation heritage tax credits. So thank goodness for those, because it does make it possible for some of these historic buildings to be reused.
Yes, and a nonprofit development company from Portland is going to be refurbishing it.
Right.
And be charging well below market rent rates.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's wonderful news. Are there any specific actions the city is taking now to try to identify buildings where more housing could be added?
There's some behind the scenes work that I really can't talk about too much, but yes, we are looking at buildings, some of the buildings that in town that are, as I say, underutilized, and hopefully we can find some grants, find some developers that are interested in affordable housing, and can repurpose them.
I know there was an effort to build some apartments out in the Miles Crossing area, just across the old Youngs Bay Bridge from Astoria, and the neighbors did not feel good about that for a number of reasons. Are there any efforts along those lines to attract developers in that area?
I'm not really sure, but I do know that Cameron Moore, the county manager, is putting together a task force on homelessness that involves all the cities of Clatsop County, and we'll be talking about where is the best place to put affordable housing. Astoria may not be the best place because of our lack of affordable land and of empty buildings, but they're going to try to identify for each city in the county what are their best strengths, what are their needs, how can they best meet those needs.
I know another issue near and dear to your heart as a retired librarian are the plans to renovate the city's 50-year-old library. What is the latest on that?
The latest is that they have now appointed or chosen an architectural firm. So that's great. We have not heard that who it is yet, but we will be hearing about it in our February council meetings. And hopefully they can make some preliminary designs that will help us when we go for larger grants. We're doing well getting smaller grants, and people in the community have been very generous, even though we haven't really started a fundraising campaign. But the larger granting organizations really want some schematics to show what the project is actually going to look like. So we're excited. This is a step forward.
And I know the city is going to be remodeling the library without asking the voters for any tax dollars. Is that correct?
That's correct. The city is giving the Library Foundation $750,000 from our carbon credits that we received for our watershed. And then there is the Logan Fund, which was established a long time ago and has now grown to around $800,000. So between the two and the fundraising that we've done so far, we have about $1.6
million. That's great. And is Willis the head of the committee?
He is.
Willis Van Dusen,
yes,
the former mayor.
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh. Well, so he's still staying involved.
Right.
What other big challenges do you see in the next 11 months that the city will be facing?
One of the interesting quandaries of a city our size of around 10,000 people is that we are actually a full-service city. That is, we have our own parks department, we have our own library, we have our own police department, our own fire department. Many cities of our size have districts instead that fund all these various activities of the city, and it makes it a much more difficult funding situation when you have to cover all the services that are provided to our citizens. So that's a big challenge for sure. The increasing PERS,
the public employee retirement system costs.
Right. Those costs just keep rising. And I don't know when the legislature is going to take some strong action on that. But in the meantime, it's extremely difficult for smaller cities.
So are they rising because a number of people, baby boomers, are retiring?
They're rising because they promised the PERS recipients that they would get 7% a year, which is just unconscionable in the economy that we have right now. So, and it's unsustainable.
So I know the city had to make some cuts to the Parks Department last year. Where does that stand as far as what programs are no longer being offered or have been restored?
The tax, the local tax on motels and hotels in Astoria went into effect January 1st. So we don't know what kind of income that's going to generate. Those funds are to go to the parks, and hopefully we can restore some of the programs that they've unfortunately had to cut.
You mentioned homelessness a moment ago, and that has been in the news lately, that there is an increasing presence of homeless people around downtown and on the Riverwalk. What is happening with the homeless task force, and what would you like to see done to specifically address that problem?
The homelessness task force has been very effective in terms of hearing all sides of an issue. We have people there from all the community service agencies, from just every segment of our city, really. But right now we are talking about identifying all the problems. We haven't really gotten to what the solutions are going to be. I'm determined that this task force, unlike the one in 2015, is going to come up with some positive and practical solutions. It's a difficult problem because we want to protect those most vulnerable people in our community. But at the same time, we need to protect the property owners that are seeing the effects of some of the activities of the homeless. So it's a balancing act, and one that we definitely need to find some solutions for. I think we have enough smart people on that homelessness task force that we're going to come up with some solutions, and I'm hopeful that we will have an organization that will provide more services for the homeless than currently at the Warming Center. The Warming Center provides a very critical and need, but there are organizations that provide more services for the homeless so that they are able to get their identification IDs, their driver's license, if they're able to get that back, their birth certificates, job training, mental health.
And the Warming Center just provides them a place to sleep at night as well as a meal and showering facilities.
Yeah. And they are, forget what the name is,
low barrier.
Low barrier, right. So that they will take people in there who have obviously been drinking or are stoned.
Although they are not allowed to drink or use drugs
right, it's my understanding. Yes, correct.
Is the homeless problem here tied to the housing costs that keep going up? Or is it that we're attracting more homeless people?
I think there's several different members of the homeless community. There are homeless who really want to be. They're loners. They often have mental health issues. They want to be alone. They don't want to be in a facility. They don't really want to change their lives around. But there are also many of our homeless who have had a home prior to becoming homeless. They have had jobs, and now they find themselves unable to pay rent. They've been evicted. So these are people that want to get back into the mainstream of the society and contribute to the community. These are the ones that I'm most anxious that we identify and try to help. We also have veterans, and they have their own specific needs as well. So there are many segments of that homeless community, and there will always be transients that come through and use our services and then move on. If they feel they can get better services somewhere else, they will. So it's a very complex problem.
If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with Astoria Mayor Arlene Lemire, who recently announced she will not seek re-election when her term ends in 11 months. I'm Joan Herman on Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. You mentioned the Astoria Warming Center. You yourself have volunteered there, haven't you, Arlene?
I have, yeah.
What have you done specifically?
My husband and I, last year, not this year, but last year, we volunteered from the 8 to 11 stint.
And that's
about
night.
As late as we can stay up. So, but yes, 8 to 11 at night. So we were signing people in.
What was that like?
It was interesting to meet the homeless folks and to talk with them, to see why they're there and what their needs are. So it was an educational experience.
Did it surprise you at all?
Yes, it did, particularly the single women that were there. It seems like most of the homeless that we see on the street are male. And so it's interesting to see that there are also female homeless that are trying to get back into society again.
I know you're involved in a number of other social justice organizations in the community. What are some of those?
The Lower Columbia Diversity Coalition, for one. The Unitarian Fellowship has a lot of social justice activities that they're involved in. Rotary.
Great, thank you. Why did you initially decide to run for mayor?
It's interesting. I was invited to come to a city council meeting by two female friends of mine, and they said, you really should come to the city council because it's the best entertainment in town. And I would agree. So I went to the city council and became very interested in what they were doing. And Joyce Compeer, who was a city council woman at the time, I had talked to her, and she said, well, if I have an opportunity, I'll get you on the Planning Commission. So that's how I started on the Planning Commission. And then when Joyce had to leave the area, I decided to run for her seat. The Planning Commission is great education for going forward in city government. I mean, you learn all about ordinances and zoning and all the things that are really critical to running a city. So I loved my 5 years on that Planning Commission. They were great preparation.
And how long did you serve on the council before you ran for mayor?
I 6 years.
And running for mayor is a big step up from serving as a city councilor. What inspired you to do that and to take that leap, especially running in the shadow of Willis Van Dusen, who had been there for 24 years?
Right. I probably would never have run if Willis hadn't stepped down. But he felt it was time for him to step down, and he offered his support if I had decided to run. So that was great support. I've continued to talk with him over a lot of different issues in the 3 years that I've been in office.
When you ran, you had lived here only 17 years, and I say only because there is a joke going around that if you haven't lived here 30, 40 years, you're not a local. So have you run into a good old boys or a good old locals network at all?
Not at all. And I expected to. When I moved here, I heard that same story. And I found that the minute you volunteered anywhere, you were accepted in this community. And if you showed that you were a good volunteer, then they made you chairman. And then you could move on to another activity. And if you were good enough there, they named you chairman there, too.
Have you heard who might run for your position?
I have, but I don't think I'm at liberty to talk about it.
I have heard that some council members are interested, and they haven't announced. But what advice would you give anyone running for your position?
First of all, let me say that if any of the other councilors decide to run for mayor, I would support any one of them. They are all very capable individuals. I'm so impressed with the group that we have there now. They are willing to work as a team. We do a lot of things by consensus. It's an excellent working group, and I will really miss working with them. I would just, as far as advice goes, I guess I thought when I came in as mayor that there would be maybe a couple more hours a week that I would be involved in doing things beside on top of what I did as a counselor. And it's really much more than that. I'm surprised at the number of times in the day that I get a call from the city manager saying, this has come up, what's your opinion on this or whatever. So we're fortunate in having a great city manager.
Brett Estes.
Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful city manager and works very closely with the council. One of the things that I have appreciated about him is if one councilor asks a question, he responds to all of us to that question via email so that we're all on the same page. And that's really helpful. We know that all of he's treating all of us the same, and it makes for a much, much better atmosphere.
Definitely. What does it take to be a good mayor, especially of a small town like Astoria's?
Well, I think certainly knowing all the issues is critical. Being able to take criticism, being willing to listen to both sides of an issue, trying to be out in the community as much as possible. I try to attend almost every event that's in Astoria. I think I got that from Betsy Johnson, who seems we often thought she had a clone because we saw her everywhere. And I do try to get out and be active in the community. I think it's important for the mayor. We used to have the chip in program within the parks. That was one of my favorite programs. It was citizens helping improve parks, and they would have cleanup days in the various parks once a month, and that was a great opportunity to meet neighbors from that particular park neighborhood. And so those are the kinds of things that I think it's really important to be visible.
What other kinds of activities do you do as mayor? Some people might assume the mayor's position is just a figurehead.
I'm on a lot of boards, and so I attend a lot of meetings. I am on that homelessness task force. I'm on the Library Foundation Board. I'm on the CREST Board, Columbia River Estuary Task Force Board. And I've just been appointed to the to Helping Hands, to their board.
That's a homeless advocacy agency in Seaside?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. So you've got a lot of meetings that you go to.
I do.
And you preside over city council meetings.
Right. And also, I get asked to speak to a lot of different groups. There's a group coming out from Portland State on Monday that I'm going to be talking with. There's a group later on in the month of February that are women in agriculture. And I know about as little about that as anything, but hopefully they won't ask me any questions about agriculture. It will be about Astoria.
I must say I'm impressed at how well you can preside over sometimes contentious meetings where citizens are upset about something the city has or hasn't done. How do you do that? What is your secret?
Sometimes I may be turning in turmoil inside, but I try to keep a calm face anyway and a calm demeanor, because it doesn't help anybody if people are riled up, and particularly if the chairperson is not under control. So I try to listen to both sides and thank them for their testimony, whatever it is. Sometimes I feel like I'm being wishy-washy because I don't take one side over the other, but I think it's important that I remain unbiased until the council itself makes a decision.
Finally, what have you learned about yourself or about the role of a mayor in a small community in your 3 years so far?
Wow. I have learned a lot. One of the really fun things about being mayor is going to the Oregon Mayors Association meeting. They have that once a year. And it's great to talk with mayors in communities about your own size and talk about the various problems that you have and the solutions that you've come up with. I maintain an email correspondence with some of those mayors throughout the year on issues that are in common for all of us. So that's been a lot. That's been one of the joys of the job, is that Oregon Mayors Association.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to thank my guest, Astoria Mayor Arlene Lemire, for coming into the studio and speaking about her decision not to run for re-election when her term expires at the end of the year. Thank you, Arlene.
Thank you, and I'm going to keep working for the rest of the year.
That's great. A retired librarian and 21-year resident of the town, Lemire became only the second woman mayor in Astoria's history when she was elected in 2014. Astoria residents will choose a new mayor as well as fill two openings on the city council in the November general election. Ward 1 on the west end of town is now held by Zeddy Nemlowil, and Ward 3 in central Astoria is held by Cindy Price. They have not announced whether they will seek re-election. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. Perspectives was engineered today by Graham Nystrom. The show can be heard every other Friday on the stations of Coast Community Radio. You also can find show podcasts on the station's website. If you would like to contact me, send me an email to perspectives@coastradio.org. Thanks for listening.